This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
We've not heard from Spike in a while. Where you at, Spike?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's Where the up, hell are everybody? You? Gotta feel good about the show today. You know why?
Please tell me.
I'm going to tell you why. Because Don's in his favorite country. And when Don's in his favorite country, he's locked in. We're going to get prime grade yes. Don. Not like yesterday when he's sitting next to me. This is Don from Toronto.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
the country of his dreams.
This is the real Don.
Oh, and
this
the real Don.
And I set it up. I'm like, you know what? You can't be at Scotia Bank Arena in Toronto without seeing all the retired numbers.
Oh, what a shot.
Not some shot like I'm in a closet. Look, that's a nice shot,
that's
right?
That's a nice shot.
Look at all the numbers, all the retired numbers. There's nary a cup since 67, but tons of retired numbers. And it's good to be here. It's snowing. And you know what? You know what's great about Toronto and great about Canada? It's a blizzard outside. Nobody's blinking. There's nobody doing stand-ups from the corner saying we're all going to die in 5 minutes.
No. It's just weather.
It's just going about their business.
Right. It's just the weather of the day.
I'm not familiar with 21, Don. Salving. Who is that?
Salving?
What's
Salming you're talking about.
Salming. Okay. Yeah,
yes. He just passed away, unfortunately.
No.
From ALS just a few months ago.
Wow.
Wow, what a beautiful backdrop, though. Wow.
No, that's very nice.
This is the best shot you've ever had, Don.
Yeah,
that's why you're going to be top flight Don today.
this is nice, but believe me, if we're getting a fraction of this snow in New York, they'd shut the town down.
It's snowing a little bit now where I am.
Yeah.
Natalie said it was snowing a little bit by her in Midtown. On the Upper West Side, I didn't catch any.
Nah. Wow, it's a very small area where it's snowing where Natalie is and not on the west side. So the two-mile width of Manhattan is
not
the snowing
width.
On every 2 miles.
No, it's not the width. It's the length. It's even less, maybe.
Well, all I know is we're about 20 years away from Manhattan becoming Miami.
Ooh.
So.
You know what? That's really going to increase real estate.
Anyway,
we're going to talk. We're going to somehow, because we're brilliant at what we do, we're performers and performative.
Very.
We are going to weave together stories that somehow link. Now, when we start out, you're not going to say, there's no way they're going to link this to something. But because we're so good, we will link it. Link it, baby. You ready?
Go ahead.
The Knicks won yesterday.
Bing bong!
And they beat a really good team in the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that snaps a 4-game losing streak. But now everybody take a deep breath, and I want you to tell me exactly what you feel. Is there any excitement? No, because the Knicks are what they are. Every game we get the postmortem from Tom Thibodeau. Now we have to be better defensively. Yesterday, Hartenstein was so great, you know, a perfect play at the end, blocking Donovan Mitchell's shot. But then we move on to the next game, and it's going to be the same tripe that they throw out there.
Sure.
They are a completely average team. They don't excite you. They're not going to go far in the playoffs. I can't see when they will. And one of the reasons, I know people are going to get tired of hearing this, I'm sorry, but this is true. They don't have that legitimate star. And you saw that legitimate star yesterday. He was playing compromised, a little bit of a groin issue in Donovan Mitchell. That's a legitimate star.
I think now, he still scored 24, by the way.
And yeah, he had a terrible first half. He had 17 in the second half. But that's a guy. You look at him, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to disparage this young man. You look at him, and then you look at R.J. Barrett, and they're completely different. R.J. Barrett is a serviceable player. He's never going to be a star. He's up and down. He's inconsistent. Didn't have a great game yesterday. Donovan Mitchell is a legitimate supernova star from this area, wanted to play here, wanted to be on the Knicks, and we don't know exactly what they held back, but we know they supposedly didn't want to give up quickly. They didn't want to give up Barrett, and they didn't want to give up their treasure trove of draft picks.
Yes.
When are they getting a Donovan Mitchell with all of that? What are they saving it for?
I don't know. You know, watching the Knicks is like watching the weather on the news. You want to watch it to get information. You want to know what's going on, but you're not remotely entertained by it. You know, that's the problem, is that the Knicks fans are passionate, maybe one of the most passionate fans in the city, if not all the country, for the way that they support this team and get nothing. So they love their team, but where are they going? In a sport where it does not honor average. Talked about this time and time again. You know, the Phillies going to the World Series. That doesn't happen in the NBA. So, yeah, you'll settle for a 6 or a 7 seed out in the first, maybe the second round. You're not going anywhere because, Michael, they didn't dare to be great. Daring to be great is going out and getting Donovan Mitchell and finally pairing him with the players that you have and making that jump. But they had to hold on to the picks, Michael, because the picks always work out for the Knicks, right? Their drafts in recent history have just been stupendous. You had to hold on to those picks, had to hold on to these young players because they're all going to become superstars like all the other Knick young players have over the last 30 years. Give me a break. Dare to be great. Make the move. They didn't do it.
And it's so funny. Leon Rose and company, they're saving those draft picks. If they keep being this middling 44 and 38 team, you know what? Those guys aren't going to be there. The draft picks aren't even going to be made by them. And please, before you're welcome to call in and argue with us all you want. Let's get a couple things out of the way. That doesn't mean they wouldn't have gotten Jalen Brunson. They had already signed Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. They would have paired Jalen Brunson with Donovan Mitchell. Jalen Brunson was part of it. You would have lost R.J. Barrett in all likelihood. So what? The way Julius Randle is playing right now, he's been great. He's been great. But what exactly is he? So he has to score 38 points and have 14 rebounds yesterday for them to squeak by the Cavaliers to win a game at home? They can't protect their home court. They're an average middling team. They're not the Nets. They're not the Bucks. They're not the Celtics. They're not the Cavaliers. They're not. So you want to get excited that they won a game yesterday against a good team, but you can't because you're realistic. There's nothing to get excited about. There's no next level for the talent that they have. Maybe they'll make this stupendous trade before the trade deadline. I hope and I pray for Knick fans that that happens because if they stay status quo, that's what they're going to be. Status quo. They're going to be a sixth seed, a seventh seed. They'll either get in with the sixth seed or be in the play-in tournament. That's what the Knicks have built. That's what they built.
That's what they've needed for years, Michael. It's right there in the face to go out and get that other star, and they didn't do it because they had to hold on to the young players and the picks. And not even that high of picks, what's going to turn out to be, because that's what kills you in the NBA, right? Unless you're going to get a top pick. Unless you get something like a Curry falling to whatever number he was, 9, or Giannis falling to 15, you're not going to get that impactful player in the draft. So, Michael, the way this continues to age is that they should have made that deal and they didn't. It's going to haunt them.
Yeah, because I think Don said it the best. You got to dare to be great. Yep. You can't just say, we got to hold on to draft picks mean nothing unless you make them and make them well. So they had a terrible season. They lost in the lottery and got the third pick. So they missed out on Zion Williamson and Ja Morant, and they got R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett, again, nice player. He's never, ever going to be super great. He's just not. Donovan Mitchell has a star's aura about him. Just does. Now, listen to some of the experts. Here is Brian Windhorst, okay? And he was on Bart and Hahn today, and he talked about his biggest question for the Knicks.
The number one question I have for the Knicks right now is, where is Jim Dolan's patience at? Will Jim Dolan see a 42-win season or a 43-win season in a play-in as a step forward, or is he going to have one of those things where every 3 years he gets restless and he starts pulling triggers? That, to me, is where the intrigue for the Knicks is going to be as we go through the next few months.
Now, this is an interesting take from Windhorst, and Windhorst is locked in. He was asked, well, what star are the Knicks actually pursuing?
There are some guys that are star players that teams who are thinking about, you know, making a transaction are watching. But that's not any different than it's ever been. There's always a couple of stars that you're watching, and sometimes they all of a sudden shake loose, and sometimes they end up staying put. That's not like a new situation. The Knicks have been in that zone for a while now. There's a player or two that I think, depending on how this season ends next summer, that the Knicks could have a lot of interest in, and there could be mutual interest. But I don't know enough to say for sure how it's going to shake out. I mean, I think if you look at the Knicks, they've gotten better. They are probably around a 500 team. They should finish a little bit over 500, I think, right about where they are. Maybe that gets them in. Maybe it doesn't. They have three guys making, you know, $100 million contract, all of whom I like. So they're trying to figure out who that player is. They've been trying for a while, and they'll continue to try. So I think if you're a Knicks fan, you should be enjoying a team that's competitive on most nights. And, you know, but I think they're achieving at their level right now.
Yeah, oh, and this is—it's like that song. Is that all there is, Peter? That's it. That's all there is.
That is so depressing. Who is actually supposed to be excited about that? And it kills me because listen, I'm not a Knicks fan. I prefer the Knicks be good than bad. Certainly, I pull for them, But, I mean, they don't even give you enough room. They're not bad enough for you to spend time talking about how bad they are. And they're not good enough for you to ever be excited about them. Even right. Remember a couple weeks ago we got excited. They were five games above 500. And I was like, oh, maybe this is the turn. Don, by the time we get to the break, they're going to be exactly where they always are.
And you've got to be able to make the splash when you have that opportunity, especially when it fills the need that you desperately haven't had for so long. And you look at the championships that have been won. You know, Ernie Accorsi trading up to get Eli Manning. At the time, it didn't age very well early, but then they win two Super Bowls. Could they have done that with Roethlisberger or Rivers? Who knows? But the fact is they were aggressive. They went out and they did it. You know, the Yankees getting to share in 2009. Really, all the time, the Yankees had the core four, Michael, but how many acquisitions did they go out and get to add to make sure that they won those championships? I mean, you know, Messier coming to the Rangers. I mean, Rangers were in the kind of same boat. Can't get over the hump, so they make the big splash and they get a star player. So the Knicks had a chance to do that, guys, and they let it slip through their fingers. And when is there going to be another opportunity to do that? Is it going to be next week, or is it going to be the next decade?
Now, let's do, I mean, this will be radio gold where we spin this right now. You ready?
Yeah.
This is going to lead right into the Gangrene Report. Brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And since it was Don's idea, I think that Don has to run with it, where you could almost make the comparison between the Jets and what the Knicks didn't do, Don.
Yeah, because the Knicks need a quarterback, and there may be a quarterback out there, and we're going to sit there and debate on whether they should give up two first-round picks when it's an exact need. You have an opportunity to do something that is going to culturally change your franchise. Get a quarterback that is a legitimate star, a legitimate Hall of Famer, that I believe has at least a couple of years left to help you get to the promised land, and you're going to hold on to, you know, first-round picks, which is the 13th overall pick coming up this year. You have this opportunity. Do not kick yourself a year from now and say, boy, we could have had Aaron Rodgers, but we settled for something else because we didn't want to give up the picks. We didn't want to give up equity. This is the crossroads that the Knicks faced and other franchises faced. What fork in the road are you going to take? Looking at the future, which, as Michael has eloquently said, is just air, hope, or go for something that you know is going to be tangible and change the direction of your franchise. When you look at it that way, Michael, and you compare it to what the Knicks didn't do, to me, this is just a no-brainer.
It's amazing. I think there's a core of fans that fall in love with homegrown. Very few championship teams are homegrown built. Because you have to add that little speck of special sauce to make it great. The Yankees, with their core four, as Don said, they still added Tino. That was in a trade. They added Jeff Nelson. That was in a trade. Mm-hmm. They made trades for pitchers. They signed Jimmy Key as a free agent. What team is totally homegrown built without that special sauce from somewhere else? And I just love fans. Well, I want to see the young guys built. Well, you know what? Hey. These are experts on the Knicks and on the Jets. The Jets have to decide. The young guy is Zach Wilson. Can we win with him? I think their answer right now is no, we can't win with him in 2023. And the Knicks, with this group as presently constructed, can we do any damage in the playoffs? They've got to be honest with themselves now. You can't dream. You got to be honest. It's got to be a realistic evaluation of what you have. No, they are a 500 team after 3 years of Leon Rosen company. They're 500. Is that good enough?
No, it's not good enough. And Michael, when we look back at the 86 Mets and we talk about Daryl and Doc and they were homegrown, but do they win that championship if they don't trade for Gary Carter? Don't trade for Keith Hernandez? Right? Like I said, do the Rangers win the Cup if they don't go out and get Mark Messier? Do the Giants win those two Super Bowls if they don't aggressively trade up to get Eli Manning? I mean, I can go on and on here, and you talk about all the acquisitions that the Yankees made. Not all of them were free agents. They made deals. Yeah, Donnie left. They went out and got Tino Martinez, who became a forever Yankee.
They got Scott Brosius in a trade.
Scott Brosius was the MVP of the 98 World
Series. Charlie Hayes in a trade.
I mean, Michael, it just goes on and on. But this is – the only negative is he's going to be 40 years old. But it's the need, and you look at what he's accomplished, and you're holding on to what? And you're going to have plenty. If the Jets win the Super Bowl the next couple of years, Michael, I mean, you're still going to have your homegrown players that contributed to that. But stop making it seem like that the only way you can win is if you hold on to all these precious picks. All the teams that have won championships in New York made that special acquisition Some of them were ancillary guys that contributed, like a Charlie Hayes. Some of them are blockbusters, like a Mark Messier or Keith Hernandez or a Gary Carter. This is a blockbuster, Michael. And if it doesn't work, hey, I went out and tried to get a Hall of Famer, and it didn't work. Do we know that those picks are going to work down the road, Michael?
Also, Don, look at the Rams. You can say, they probably doomed themselves to 4 years of bad football. They won a Super Bowl.
They won a Super Bowl.
And look at what the 49ers did. All the draft capital they traded for Trey Lance, and then all of the draft capital they traded to get Christian McCaffrey. Why? Because they're trying to win now.
I'd also be curious to ask Jets fans, given how bad the last 40 some years have been, how much time are you willing to give up for a Super Bowl? Like, it's not the same as the Giants or the Patriots who win Super Bowls, saying, I don't want to waste 10 years. I might be willing, guys, to trade 20 years for a Super Bowl. You haven't had anything. So the idea of, staying pat, not wanting to damage the team in the future, what has doing that done for you so far? Get your championship.
Now, B. Ward, my friends who listen to the show a lot, we thank you for that. He said, Michael, I'm confused. How much better do you think D. Mitchell would make the Knicks if they couldn't do it with a much better Jazz team? Well, the Jazz team had a chance every year to maybe go to a championship game. Not the finals, maybe go to a championship game. They were built that they were really good. They had hope. The Knicks don't have hope. They don't have hope. They don't have hope to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. There's no way it's going to happen. There are too many good teams in front of them. The Jazz went as far as they could go. Then they traded Rudy Gobert, and they traded Donovan Mitchell. And you know what? They've actually gotten better because they have a smart, proactive GM or president, whatever you want to call Danny Ainge.
Where are you going now?
Yeah, where are you going now?
What kind of future do they have? Where are they going to be drafting to get that transcendent player, Michael?
Here's what I would ask the Knicks. Take R.J. Barrett out of the equation. Take Emmanuel Quickley out of the equation. Take four or five first-round draft picks that in future years out of the equation. Put in Donovan Mitchell. Are they a much better team than they are right now? The answer is a resounding yes. So stop with the nonsense. Well, how much better would they be? They'd be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
Because that's a star. They don't have a star. The closest thing they have to stars is Brunson, who's really good at what he does. He's not a superstar. And Julius Randle, when he's right, he's close. But I don't think he's good enough to carry a team because he's a little up and down every now and then too. Although this year he's been great. And the year before last year he was great.
And
he's a good player. He could be the number two guy if you had a great player.
So let's spin it back to the Jets here. What's your alternative? Now there are some options, Garoppolo, Carr, but are they Aaron Rodgers over the next couple of years? Yeah, you'll be able to save the picks and save some money, but are you going to have as good a kick at the can over the next 2 years with those quarterbacks that you would with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, the only thing that worries you about Rodgers, there's word that the because of cap ramifications, the Packers won't even think about trading him until June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the Jets would have to do their due diligence. Joe Douglas would have to have a constant dialogue with the GM of the Packers and know for sure that he would be, in fact, you can't wait till June 1st and then it doesn't happen because they change their mind. You've got to have a deal set in place, and then the deal is consummated for the cap ramifications. But if not, then you have to move on and you have to offer the Ravens, I don't know, four first-round draft picks for Lamar. You've got to get the difference maker. You just do.
You can't sit back
and wait.
And the other argument is, and listen, people that we respect, Ryan Clark, he might be done. Last year was not an impressive Aaron Rodgers-like year, but there were excuses. He had an injured thumb. He lost one of the best receivers in football. But he won MVPs back-to-back the two previous years, so did he all of a sudden fall off a cliff? Or maybe the thumb and maybe the loss of his best wide receiver affected him. He still threw for almost 3,700 yards and north of 20 touchdowns. The Jets would take that in a millisecond this year, and I think with the weapons the Jets have, he'd have even a better year. Because what has Carr won? Garoppolo is a guy that with his own organization doesn't want him. They're good players, and their improvements on what they have, Michael, but are they Aaron Rodgers?
Did I tell you, Peter, Canada, Don, It's just
he brings it. It's
a different breed.
The air hits different when he gets that Tim Hortons in his veins.
Oh, and he didn't even he was below par yesterday. He was good.
Damn it!
Oh, but today he's
I wasn't great. I wasn't going to insult you to compliment you, Don. That's not the kind of guy.
Well, that's the thing. Well, that's what I have to take with Michael. Right? Is like even when he's praising me, he's killing me at the same time.
I wasn't killing you. I said
because I'm in Canada. What?
Level,
like three
Don.
Times. This is the third time I'm doing a show from Canada. So I've only been good three times in the last few months.
No. Only been stupendous. You only been Donovan Mitchell three times.
So Winnipeg, Don, Montreal, Don, Toronto, Don. But
Donovan,
New York City, Don. Forget it. I got
RJ. RJ.
That's right. He's Donovan LaGreca.
Yeah, he's Donovan LaGreca. And when you're here, you're good. You're RJ. You're not.
Yeah. You Julius Randle. No. He's better than RJ. He's Julius Randle here.
Okay, this is not Calgary. This is a guy that had the urinate.
No. The only thing that keeps me just short of being able to absolutely put my foot down on this Aaron Rodgers issue is that you just don't know when it's going to end. And yes, it didn't appear to start ending for Brady until 45. But you don't know if for Rodgers that number's 41. And that is scary. Don, I'm with you. I think you still got to do it. I do. It's I can't imagine who you could go out and get that has as high an upside. No one has a higher ceiling that's available for next year than Aaron Rodgers. But he does have a lower floor.
Well, that is the Gangrene Report.
Sure
brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. Peter, let me tie it together to the point that you will be impressed with me.
Jeez, you're good.
Over Don's shoulder, if you're watching on Yes, is Tim Horton's retired number.
Wow.
Number 7.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how this is all tied together.
Yeah,
today.
It's all
I promised
together.
A great show, and so far, off the rails great.
First out segment.
Out of the gate.
I would love being Canadian. This is the start the Eagles had against the Giants on Saturday.
I would also love being Canadian.
Well, I hope that we don't have a Dable moment and go for a 4th and 8th. And
no, we can't.
No, we're the Phillies. We're the Philadelphia Eagles in this analogy. So
okay, good.
Because as much as it pains me to say,
I thought that was Dable's worst decision of the year.
It ruined
absolutely
everything.
It was. It was absolutely.
And I think he gets a pass because he had such a good year. That was mind-bogglingly dumb.
Well, I think
and it led to the blowout. I think the Giants were going to lose anyway. Led to the blowout.
I don't disagree. And I do think, you know, listen, I love Dable. He is the guy to go with. I'm jealous they have him. I think he is really good. But you also can't lie. We evaluate people in big spots, okay? Everyone is evaluating Dak Prescott because of what happened on Sunday.
Right.
They're not thinking about what he did to Tampa the week before. They're thinking about pooping the bed, all due respect. And in last week, I really think Dable was not prepared.
So what you're saying is that all year he's been Dable. On Saturday, he was Dable.
Oh, he was Breon Dable.
Dable, like a table?
I think he was undable. On Sunday.
Yeah. He was unable to make the right decision.
Yeah. Hey, we're more than halfway through 98.7 ESPN Superbox Bonanza 2023, guys.
Sure.
With around $20,000 in cash and prizes remaining, you could still score great prizes, including Solo stoves, Yeti coolers. I have a Yeti cooler. It's tremendous. Knicks and Rangers suite tickets. And by the way, I'm making an announcement. The arena tour continues. Although we're not going to do the show from there, I am going to the Knick Laker game, press the flesh, meet everybody at the Garden.
Wow.
Shake 19,000 people's hand.
Wow.
Next Tuesday.
Bing bong.
You guys are both invited to join me, Don. We'll probably say, nah, I'm good. But
what
Peter,
day is
I think,
this?
Has a possibility. Tuesday, next Tuesday. My last sporting event is a 61-year-old.
I am available.
Well, there you go.
And I'll be in the city.
There you go.
Because I want to see, you know, poor LeBron James.
The Condor.
Yeah, I would like to see the Condor.
He's really
well.
Strong. I mean, just all those videos of him just like almost like he's going to fall asleep.
Yeah, while he's scoring 38 points a game.
No, but I'm saying, I'm not saying he's asleep, but you just see the disgust. Like,
he'll awake at the Garden.
Oh, well, that'll wake you up, but Lakers, not a good match right now.
I was watching Bomani's Game Theory show came back to HBO.
Yes, it did.
And he had Nick Wright on as a guest, and they were talking LeBron. And Nick made a really good point. It is surprising, given how open the West is and who the Lakers do have on this team, that it doesn't seem like they seem totally comfortable just wasting this year of LeBron. Like they could make a move.
Being hurt didn't help.
No, it certainly doesn't. But when Anthony Davis is available, why would you not try to add to this and maybe make a run here?
Maybe they are. Give them time. Trade deadline's February. No, they're all right. Okay. And by the way, other great prizes, Ranger Suite tickets, JBL speakers, Omaha Steaks gift cards, and much more. Love Omaha Steaks. So good.
Very good.
Plus the big game payout of thousands of dollars. I mean thousands. And the grand prize final score wins a trip to Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas plus $2,000 cash. And we've actually arranged it that if you win that and you don't have anybody to go with, one of the three of us will go with you.
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right.
But we also want half the cash.
Don't think you can do that.
Get your boxes by listening weekdays in the 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours through February 3rd. For full contest details, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Good time here on the K Show, I promise. We're on until 6:30, Ranger game. Don's going to do it right
That's
here
right.
on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You never know what you're going to see when you look outside your door. And during the break, I got out, looked outside, and snowing out where I live. And it amazing. Kayvon Thibodeau was doing a snow angel right in front of my house.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of nice, right?
And unfortunately, and Charlie was laying right next to him, just had a sledding accident.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, very good, Peter.
Thank you.
Very good. You. All right, let's go to the phones and see what you're thinking. Let's go to Jose in Brooklyn. Jose.
Good morning, guys. Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to get on the phone and talk to you. This is the first time I'm calling in on this show. And, Michael, you're always going to be a hero because you'll always be that you'll always be that guy that signed my autograph ball at 10 years old outside of Yankee Stadium.
Wow. Thank you, Jose.
What a
Thank
guy.
You
so much. So I just wanted to talk about the Knicks. And it's kind of like the same situation with the Jets where we kind of know the equation. We know what's going on, but we're kind of going in circles. And as much as I love the Randle year and I love everything that he does, even down the stretch in this game, he was almost costing them the game. And I just feel like the only way the Knicks are going to get out of this spot is by cutting their losses and possibly looking towards the future and possibly elevating Barrett and Grimes. And Obi Toppin, because Obi Toppin is going to be a wasted pick as long as Randle's here.
Yeah, see, but that you're going to start all over again, Jose. I don't have enough faith in Obi Toppin to give him Julius Randle's minutes. It might be a wasted draft pick. I always wondered, well, why'd you take him and not Halliburton? I mean, it didn't make sense, but they did. Local kid, it's a great story. We want it to happen, but has he ever shown you any great consistency? Don't know. Now, if you want to say you could trade Julius Randle for for a superstar, because you're going to have, if you trade for a superstar, you're going to have to match their salaries. That's the way the cap works. So right. You're going to have to send somebody that's making considerable money to the team. But I would prefer to keep Julius Randle if I add a superstar. But again, they passed on the superstar that was available. When's the next one that's going to be available? When? And who wants to come to the Garden? People like to play at the Garden. As visitors, I don't know if they want to play there 41 times a year. So I'm not turning things over to Obi Toppin. And Grimes is a good player. I like him. He's a piece. He's not the piece.
The record says the players who they have don't like playing at the Garden.
Yeah, they're awful at home. And it does mesh, though, Peter. It makes sense. When you come to the Garden once or twice a year, you get pumped up. You're playing on Broadway. Every player loves it. Then they leave. So they're all the Knicks are getting every team's A game. Now, a team could go into Indianapolis at their field house, and they not, the Pacers might not get their A game. But the Knicks, every time they're going to get the A game, nobody's going to be flat at the Garden. Most people are not going to rest, have a rest day at the Garden.
Right.
So, and the Knicks just have not played up to, you can't be a great team unless you're great at home. They're not. They're under 500 at home. And they almost lost yesterday. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Daryl in Jamaica.
Yeah. I was calling, why is Wild Wild West and Leon Rosa, do they got a gag order on Scott Perry? They're holding these picks.
Well, I mean, they're the guy, and Scott Perry is can explore stuff. Those picks, though, whether or not they use, that's Leon Rose. I mean, I personally think, and some people disagree with me, I think the Knicks mishandled the Donovan Mitchell thing. I think they thought that they had him. I think that people in the Knicks front office were assured that the Cavaliers were not in on it, and that's why they didn't up their offer to Utah. And then days later, you know what? The Cavaliers were not only in on it, they made the deal. So somebody in the Knicks front office got completely hoodwinked by somebody that he thought would tell him the truth in the Cavaliers front office, and that's why the Knicks are without Donovan Mitchell right now. So anybody that gives me that ridiculousness that, well, Ainge wouldn't have traded him to the Knicks. He wanted a king's ransom. So what? What are you holding your king's ransom for? For what? For a pick that you might not ever make? They wanted Donovan Mitchell. I give them credit. They said this is the guy, but they couldn't pull the trigger, and they had a false sense of security that the Cavaliers were not in, and that's why the Knicks did not give them the Jazz and Danny Ainge what they wanted, because they thought he was bluffing. He wasn't. He got a great deal from Cleveland. So the Knicks lost. They lost that blink right there. Hey, how about Richard in Manhattan?
Oh,
hey.
Wow.
A little bit of the Don and Dick show. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Don. Peter. All right, before I get to my Nick point.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Don, I got to take you to task.
Oh.
You mentioned Gary Carter. You mentioned Mark Messier. But in our lifetime, the most influential trade a New York team has ever made. And I'll go back to Babe Ruth. And as a hockey man, you should know this, and you should have brought this out. Butch Goring coming to the Islanders. Subsequently, they won four championships because of Butch Goring.
I had it on my list of because I didn't get to go through all of them.
Okay.
I had that. There's a ton. But, yeah, no, Butch Goring, that got him over the hump. Making
right,
deals. So all those great players, but, you know, acquiring Butch Goring was the
all
missing
right.
piece. Well, absolutely.
Wait a second, Richard. I'll let you finish your point.
Go ahead.
Butch Goring was an unbelievable pickup for the Islanders. Led to four straight Stanley Cup. You can't say it was a bigger deal than the Yankees getting Babe Ruth from the Red Sox.
No, you got to go. No, of course not. But it's up there, though. Butch Goring was all right. Now, as far as the Knicks go, so far the NBA season is 60% over. Am I correct? So we have a good sample size.
Mm-hmm.
We can extrapolate. Not like a guy hitting a home run on day one, opening day, and then we're going to say he's going to hit 162 games. All right. We've got 60% of the season over. Do you know how many games ahead Cleveland is with their superstar, Donovan Mitchell, and the Knicks without any superstars?
Mm-hmm.
A plain old team. Right. Do you know how many games ahead Cleveland is than the Knicks?
How many?
Not many.
Three games.
Right.
And
it
extrapolate
will, it
that
will
over
become more
season.
Than three because the Knicks have played the easy part of their schedule. Now they start to play teams that are all playoff teams.
Well, we don't know that, Michael. We don't know. We got to see. You can only play who you're playing. Now, you extrapolate that over a full season, that's five games. Let's say at the end of the year, Cleveland is five games better than the Knicks. Are you still going to say the Knicks are worst off with all their trade capital and keeping their homegrown players? Are they going to be worse off than if they would have made the trade? If Cleveland is so great, why have the Knicks beaten them twice already this year? And their superstar. If he's a superstar.
But I'm not even talking about Cleveland per se. What the Knicks have, Richard, if you add Donovan Mitchell, they take an exponential step up. Cleveland is not at the level of Boston. They're not at the level of Milwaukee. They're not at the level of the Nets when Kevin Durant's healthy. What I'm saying is None of those teams are, but at least Cleveland took a shot, and they've got good players. Well, the Knicks, Cleveland has more talent than the Knicks. Sorry, did you watch the game yesterday? You're acting like three games isn't a lot. Three games over 50 games is a lot. It's going to be more.
But that's the same logic of, well, the Jazz didn't win, so why would I want him with the Knicks? It would be different with the Knicks, because I'll throw it back at Richard. All right, well, only three better. So imagine what would it be, how much better would the Knicks be if they had Mitchell, and what would Cleveland be if they didn't?
That's right.
So would it be 6-7 better? Well, that might be a couple of seeds higher. And we think it could work, because there are, even though Cleveland's more talented, Michael, there's some pieces that I'd like to see work with Mitchell. So what he did in Utah, what he's doing in Cleveland, to me is irrelevant. What would he do here, Michael? Are you telling me they would be just the same team with Donovan Mitchell? Of course they wouldn't be.
They'd be much better. Yeah, I think people lose sight of this. Entertainment industry. The guy is handsome. He can be your spokesman for the next 10 years. He's from the area. He wanted to be here. You could build your whole marketing campaign around Donovan Mitchell. Come on. No brainer. You believe the Cavaliers when they say, oh, we're not in on him. Meanwhile, they were working behind the scenes to make the deal, and the Knicks got hoodwinked. I'm not saying the Knicks didn't want him. No. They got hoodwinked, which they shouldn't have. And if the person who got hoodwinked in the front office doesn't admit that they got hoodwinked, that's on them. Because that information was relayed to Leon Rose, and that's why Leon Rose did not up the offer when Danny Ainge wanted more. Because he felt that Danny Ainge was bluffing, that the Cavaliers were not in. They were in. They got them. They're three games better, and they're a better team than the Knicks. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
What'd you do in Toronto today, Don? And was the hotel as long from the arena as I said?
No, it was a nice 0.4 miles, a nice walk.
Okay.
I walked outside, then you can go underground to the arena, so I took a nice walk, but I had a morning skate, got to talk to Kenny. Kenny's calling the game for TNT, so
rarely am I
in the same place with Kenny Albertson.
Wow, this is something.
So this is game number what for the Rangers?
48.
And you've done this is game number what for you?
33.
You do the math, Peter.
He's the guy.
And also, this kid, you told me how to pronounce his name, Cooley, making his NHL debut, right?
Yes. He is going to be the first Ranger since 1945 to debut as a New York Ranger in his hometown of Toronto, because he's from Toronto. So you can imagine how crazy he's going to be, you know, in his mind, playing his first NHL game where he was born for the team he rooted for.
Wow.
As a
beautiful
kid.
Christmas story. And Don's going to tell it like no one else could tell it on 98.7 ESPN.
Kidding me? This is the kind of night you do. You know what you do? You sit around the radio.
Right.
Old school.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Harry would listen to the fights that he hated.
That's right.
You remember.
With the stove right in the middle of the living room.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Don, what radio still means to people. You ready for this? This is a cute story from last night.
Okay.
So put Charlie to bed yesterday, Charlie and Callie to bed. I'd say it was about 9:30. So the Knick Cavalier game was still on. I was watching it downstairs, so I tucked him in, said goodnight. And while I left the room, it's hard to get him to fall asleep. I don't know if your kids are like that.
Sure.
And he put on the radio and was listening to Ed Cohen. And the last play of the Knick game was really, really exciting. Donovan Mitchell drives the lane, blocked by Hartenstein, and then a desperation shot from the lane. They didn't get it. And he comes running down when he shouldn't be. It was about 10 after 10. I said, Charlie, you're supposed to be sleeping. He said, I was listening on the radio, and I was imagining what it looked like in real life. So I know that the replay is going on right now. So, Don, kids with the radios under their pillow will be imagining what's happening on the ice in Toronto, and you are painting the picture for them.
I always think about that because that's how I grew up, Michael. The kids, Jimmy Stark got them an elephant that plays lullaby music, so we play that for them. But what I had in my room is my dad had a radio that had a timer on it, and I'd listen to the radio for 30 minutes, and it was always WABC at the time. So listening to all that music and then picturing what they look like, what they sound like, and then it would be Howard Cosell. I'd get really excited because he was speaking of everything, and then he wasn't talking about sports. But like, and all these DJs who I met years later, not looking like how I pictured them, because you kind of live in your own head with radio. And it's the same when you're play-by-play and listening to, you know, Bob Murphy all those years, calling games, being a Met fan, and you just picture what the building looks like and what the uniforms feel like. And it's still special to me. That's why I love radio, and I love working in radio. So
now,
that's kind of cool. That's a cool story for Charlie.
This is what Charlie heard, the great Ed Cohen. Here's the final call of the Knick game yesterday.
Donovan Mitchell drives into the lane, skies for the dunk, knocked away by Hartenstein. No foul. Mitchell gets it back to Mobley. Fade away two, no good off the heel, and that's it. Donovan Mitchell knocked onto his back. Hartenstein with the stop, and the Knicks hold on and win the ball game, 105-103 at the Garden.
Cohen's really good.
Cohen, yeah, that's a solid call.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
He's very good. Let's go to Patrick in New Jersey. Patrick.
Hey, guys, loving the show. I definitely agree with you guys that we need to get a star. I was part of that committee, that Knicks committee, that was in full faith that we don't get Donovan Mitchell. Because when you look at it, Cleveland had a better team than we did before this trade. And now they made this trade. They have Donovan Mitchell, and they're only three games better than we are. They're in the fifth seed. We're in the seventh seed. But what's happening is, we would be stuck in basketball purgatory for another 10 years, 5 to 10 years, if we make that trade.
Well, you're still going to be stuck there. But Patrick, you're still going to be stuck there.
You are stuck there.
You're right. We're stuck there. But why be stuck there with a player like Donovan Mitchell?
Because he's only 26 years old.
Wait it out for what? I'm interested. You're waiting it out for what?
What are we waiting for?
Waiting 20 years.
I'd rather wait a couple of years and see if we could get like a Devin Booker, because it's falling apart in Phoenix if you're paying attention. I was listening to the Bart Scott show when Windhorst said that the Knicks didn't want to make that trade because they feel they weren't in the right place as a team to just drop in a Donovan Mitchell and contend. And I agree. If we do that trade, we're not beating Brooklyn, we're not beating Philly, we're not beating Boston, and we're definitely not beating the Bucks. So what's the point? Why trade? Why give up 4 to 5 years of draft picks and good players just to be stuck in the same spot when we could wait it out and see for if someone shakes loose? Like, I'd rather have Devin Booker. If Devin Booker shakes loose, then the Knicks did this perfectly.
Yeah, but again, Devin Booker, you take the best star that becomes that does shake loose. So Donovan Mitchell shook loose, and with all due respect to Windhorst, I didn't hear it. The Knicks were interested in Donovan Mitchell. They were trying to get Donovan Mitchell. They desperately wanted to get Donovan Mitchell. But they were hoodwinked by the fact that they were told that the Cavaliers didn't have interest. I love the fact, the Cavaliers are in the fifth spot and the Knicks are in the seventh. That means the Knicks are a playing team. And attacking like three games is not a lot. And Cavaliers are a legitimate playoff team. One of the six teams is a legitimate playoff team.
So tell me
that if the Knicks had Donovan Mitchell and they extract R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley, right? If they had Donovan Mitchell with the cast of characters that they have, that they couldn't go into a series with the Nets or a series with the Celtics and maybe potentially upset them, they can't now.
And again, I don't want to repeat myself, but I guess people want to continue to hammer this. Well, it's only three games difference. Well, we're about halfway through the season, a little bit more. So then if you extrapolate it out, then it's 5-6 games better. That's pretty significantly better in an 82-game season. Plus, it's his first year there. You don't think it's going to get better as time goes on? And why would it be exactly the same in New York that it is in Cleveland? You know, maybe it would be better. I don't get that whole, they're only three games better. I'm sorry. What's it going to be at the end of the season?
It's amazing. Don, now I'm going to let Peter decide this.
Okay.
DiPietro sent what could be an inflammatory text about Don. Should I read it or not?
Yeah, no, listen, it's all fair game as long as it's FCC okay. Is it on brand?
I said that Charlie ran down, right, and wanted to see what it looked like what he saw in his mind's eye. Mm-hmm. And Rick writes, it's like when Don would hear the key parties going on downstairs from his bedroom and then finally ran down and saw it.
Okay.
So he went after Nancy, now he's going after my mom.
Wow.
And that's all because of you, because there were no key parties. But now people think they're key parties. And I really don't, Peter, I really don't appreciate that Michael Kay and Rick DiPietro just so flippantly will talk about my mom being basically a prostitute.
Oh, well, how is a key party a prostitute? That's the most insulting thing I've ever heard. It's people switching partners. It's nobody's paying anything.
Well, I'm trying to come up with a word that's a little bit more friendly than what you're suggesting is that my mom was easy.
No.
That she was experimental sexually.
Experimental, I'm not maybe. Yeah.
No. That's a nice way of saying that she was a...
A you-know-what.
Yeah, a you-know-what.
I don't see how you take it.
How do I not take it that? You know what a key party is?
Yeah, I do. I'll explain it to everybody. All these couples get together.
Sex.
They drop their house key in a bowl by the door, and then the husbands that are leaving, they take the key out, and the key that belongs to either the husband or the wife, that's the husband or wife they leave with. There's nothing prostitution about it.
Well, I mean,
it's good, clean fun.
Is it clean?
Everybody agreed. Nobody's being forced into it. They came there on their own volition. Why do you have to make it something dirty?
Because that's what it is.
It is not. It's something fun.
Well, it might be fun for people that don't respect the sanctity of marriage and have no respect for one another. What?
Peter, help me out.
Peter, am I being a prude or am I actually being prudent?
I think that, you know, at a certain point, there are people who would argue that this line of jokes could lead to Don being in the right in committing murder. I'll say that.
Right.
And so he's just calling it out. That's not that bad.
It's not the width. It's the length. It's even less because, busy.
What you're doing about it, you're talking about my mom in a very familiar way.
You know I love your mom.
I do. Conversations like this suggest otherwise. Now, you never met my father. And if you did meet my father is not swapping my mom out for a good old grand time, fun time.
I can't. You know what makes me very uncomfortable, Peter? I know that Don's mom is listening. And she's probably so furious right now.
Oh, she's very
furious. Confused.
Yeah, I'd have to sit her down and explain the key party, which
would be
awkward for
everyone. Well, I just
explained
it. I thought very easily.
It's nice to think that one shot would get it done. I really appreciate the confidence you have in her. It would take more than just one explanation. It's the fact that he doesn't find it insulting, Peter, shocks me.
All right.
A guy that's so easily offended.
It's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very thin-skinned.
Well, picture your parents. What about your parents?
You know what? Maybe they did. I don't know. I wasn't involved. I have no idea.
Well, that's
I'm a big boy.
There's no way. Even though.
You know, I'm not certainly not eliminating, you know, Peter's parents. Who knows what they did in Wild Chevy Chase?
But they did not do that, and neither did Don's mom.
Oh, this is so exciting.
That's what you would
say.
It's
the only man that my mom ever loved.
Michael?
But, Don, for Key, I hate to be so base. You don't have to love these people. You'll go where the key goes.
I admire him, Peter, because there's really no way out of the hole he's dug. And he's trying. He might think he's not winning anybody over. He's never been more wrong.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.